engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Some people told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. He said to them in reply, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than all other Galileans? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." Or those 18 people who were killed when the tower at Siloam fell on them. Do you think that they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. And he told them this parable. There was once a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard. And when he came in search of fruit on it, but found none, he said to the gardener, "For 3 years now I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" He said to him in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In this gospel passage, it is the fig tree. In various other passages of Scripture, Old and New Testament alike, it is the vine that God plants, nurtures, cares for. It refers to us, the people of God. And He looks for fruit. He looks for the fruit on the vine. He looks for the figs on the tree. Fruits of holiness, goodness, service, life, truth. The fruit of a people who accept His word, who learn His word, who listen to His word, and let that word bear fruit in them, that Christ be living in them, and that they manifest Him to the world. The Lord looks for this fruit. But the message that comes across clearly here and in other parts of Scripture is that He doesn't wait forever. He's infinitely merciful, but He doesn't wait forever. The tree, the vine, have to bear fruit before the deadline. We all have a deadline on our personal journey through this world. Once we die, as Scripture says in the letter to the Hebrews, then is the judgment. Time is up to bear fruit. Time is up to repent. Time has expired to change. With every day we have on earth, with every hour, change is possible. Grace is available. God is always knocking at the door of our hearts. He's always providing us the grace to repent. Remember the famous picture of Jesus knocking at the door with a lamp in His hand? There's no doorknob on the door because it's the door to the human heart and it can only be opened from the inside. Time runs out for us individually and also for the world. There will be a general judgment. There will be a day of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ into this world visibly. Scripture says every eye will see Him, even of those who pierced Him. And every knee will bend, and the judgment will occur, and the dead will rise, some to the rise to righteousness and some to the judgment of condemnation. The good will be separated from the wicked, and some will go to eternal life and some will go to eternal damnation. Time runs out. This passage here is taken from Luke 13. If you go further in that very same chapter of Scripture, Luke 13, you hear about the narrow gate. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Few there are who find it, Jesus said. And then he says this, the master at a certain point rises and locks the door. You remember also the parable of the virgins waiting for the arrival of the bridegroom, and some had oil in their lamps and some didn't. Time runs out. There comes the point where the master arrives, an unexpected moment. He goes in, brings in those who are ready, and then bars the door. There's a point at which the master rises and locks the door. And Jesus says, those will stand outside knocking and saying, Lord, open the door for us. And he'll say, I don't know where you're from. Too late. You didn't prepare on time. If you want to repent, do it now. Now, Paul says, now is the day of salvation. There's an urgency. And what this means, brothers and sisters, is that at a certain point, we also have to stop pretending that there isn't serious objective violation going on of our faith and of the rights of others. I'm talking in particular of those who in public life claim to be Catholic and stand for things contrary to the Catholic faith. I include clergy in this. But there are politicians, as you know, claiming to be Catholic, claiming to be Christian, doesn't even have to be the Catholic ones that we're talking about, claiming to be Christian, claiming to be believers, but embracing evil, spreading evil. In particular, the worst evil among us, the killing of babies by abortion. And the Democrat Party, unfortunately, has allied itself with this evil in an undeniable and unprecedented way, calling it a right, calling it a good, rather than an evil. The prophet Isaiah says in his 5th chapter, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who change light for darkness and darkness for light, sweet for bitter and bitter for sweet. Woe to them. Because neither can they repent themselves. You can't repent if what you're doing, the evil you're doing, you don't recognize as evil. Woe to you, because you're stuck then in that evil. Unless you accept the grace, that somehow that light gets through to make you recognize that light is not darkness and darkness is not light. Paul refers in his passage that we had in the first reading to those who are tossed by waves, swept away by every wind of teaching arising from human trickery. So if a person gets up in public life, like Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi, among many others, and says, I'm a devout Catholic, but you know, when it comes to abortion, that is a woman's reproductive right. It's the Constitution. I must defend it. It's the law. Human trickery. And then they say, you must pay for it too. This is literally what the Democrat Party says. You must pay for abortions with your tax money. They push this and push it and push it. Every wind of teaching arising from human trickery. You know what these Democrats also do? When we insist on our own religious freedom, when we say that if we employ people as we do at Priests for Life, as they do at Catholic University of America, as they do at the Archdiocese of Washington, as they do at the Diocese of Pittsburgh, as they do at the Diocese of Erie and St. Thomas Aquinas College and EWTN and all different Catholic ministries and apostolates and Christian universities, in fact, employers of all types, at all levels of society and of all religious backgrounds, they say to us, they being the Democrat Party, you have to include certain types of abortion in your health insurance plans because they see it as a good. They say that if we say no, because of our religious freedom, our freedom to conduct our business affairs in accordance with our faith, they say that when we do that, it's discrimination. That's what Biden says. That's what the Democrat Party says. It's discrimination. If you say that you don't want to participate in something that is evil, that's discrimination against the people who are doing the evil in which you don't want to participate. Brothers and sisters, I'm not making this up. This is exactly what they say and exactly what they do. We even have now, under President Trump, an office in the federal government called the Office of Civil Rights. That has been in existence, but he created the Division for Conscience and Religious Freedom, which, when it was opened in the year 2018 alone, 1,300 complaints came in. Because that's what the office does. It receives complaints for the public who feel that they are being forced to do things that they don't believe in. And the law, the president says the law should never do that. It should never force us to violate our faith. And some 1,300 complaints came in that 1 year, whereas in the previous 8 years under the previous administration, in that whole time, you know how many complaints came in? 10. Not because people didn't feel that their rights were being violated, but that they didn't know where to go to seek redress. Now this office is handling the problem that was already there. But when you talk about every wind of teaching arising from human trickery, when a political party, i.e. the Democrat Party, tries to suppress religious freedom by telling us that our exercise of it is tantamount to discrimination, we have got to object to that. We have got to call that out. We cannot allow people like that to call the shots in our country. And we can go on and on with so many other things. The problem is, and so many people talk about this within the church, that this has been going on for decades. Time runs out. If the Lord makes anything clear in this gospel passage and in many other passages, there comes a point when you don't just keep waiting and waiting for the fruit to come that isn't coming. For 3 years now I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none. So cut it down. Well, maybe we can give it one more year. But we don't wait forever. It doesn't last forever. And we shouldn't wait and wait and wait before we call out the evil that is being done. That is not to say that we can look inside a person's soul and judge their relationship with God. We don't need to do that. What concern is that of ours? We pray for people and hope that they are communicating with God and listening to Him, but we can certainly tell the difference between good and evil. We can certainly tell the difference between supporting abortion and opposing abortion. Can we not? And we can certainly call out somebody who says, oh, yes, I'm a devout Catholic on the one hand. But on the other hand, well, I support abortion. I want you to pay for it. I'm going to keep it legal. Can't have it both ways. You cannot be a Catholic. You cannot be a Christian. I say you cannot even be a decent human being and support the killing of babies. So we don't just sit around endlessly waiting for something to happen from those who are clearly not repenting and not even making an effort to do so. We have to draw that line. And we individually, as voters, have to draw that line and say, I'm not going to continue to give to these people the power to kill these babies. I'm not going to continue to give to these people the power to repress my religious freedom, to limit the freedom of my church, of my children. One of the things these Democrats do, they get into all this identity politics and say, you can't even speak a certain way because it's hate speech. They try to limit the freedom of children to freedom of students to speak up in their schools, to pray, to speak their mind, to have events of a pro-life or religious nature. They're being, these students, these brave students, these faithful students, being persecuted from campus to campus to campus. And that's why President Trump found it necessary recently to stand up and say to those universities, if you don't let students speak their mind, if you don't let them speak out because they're pro-life, because they believe in Christ, if you don't give them and protect for them the freedom they already have to speak out, we're not going to support you. You don't support them, we're not supporting you. You're not going to get federal money that you so want in order to be a university. You're not going to get it if you keep suppressing the pro-life and religious speech that these students themselves want to engage in. That's the way to go, brothers and sisters. There comes a point. God has his deadline with the final judgment, but there comes a point here in temporal affairs where we must draw that line. Now, you draw that line, people always can have a chance while they're still alive to change later on. But in the meanwhile, that doesn't mean we have to tolerate being oppressed or pretend that there's no difference between those who are embracing good and promoting it and those who are embracing evil. Let me say it as clearly as I can. The Democrat Party has embraced evil and it deserves no support because they've embraced evil. And you don't just sit around in the face of blatant evil and say, oh, well, maybe someday they'll change. You draw a line, you take action, you live accordingly, you speak accordingly, you vote accordingly. Brothers and sisters, let's pray indeed for the spirit of repentance on the part of all. Let's pray indeed for the spirit, as Paul says to the Ephesians, of taking these gifts from Christ, not be like infants blown and tossed by waves, swept away by every wind of teaching arising from human trickery. Instead, he says, let us live the truth in love. Not just know the truth, live the truth. Live the truth. Actually protect people, protect their freedom, protect life. Actually live the truth, as Paul says to the Ephesians, until we are all made one in the body of Christ. May it be so. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.